So good morning, everyone. My name is Barbara Anton. I'm a colleague of Alberto sitting in the same office in the European Secretariat of ICLE. I am mainly working on the water theme, but I'm actually also in the same team with him, which is more broadly on sustainable resources, climate, and resilience. I'm very proud, actually, to be with you at this early stages of your process in which you want to develop a strategy for resilience. And I'm glad to hear that we have such a mix of people in the room, because you won't manage without having all these different people talking with each other. And I would like to highlight this also in my presentation.
Scusate, solo un secondo. Per chi non le avesse prese, ci sono delle cuffiette per la traduzione, qualora ne aveste bisogno. Sono lì, per cui c'è la collega che ve le può dare, insomma, se, perché vedevo che molti non le avevano.
So, in my presentation I will look at the side of water and the water cycle in the city, because right from an early stage on, you indicated already in your process, actually while getting on board of this Resilient Cities program, that you might have to deal with water in the first place in your city. It's you. Okay. So what will I be talking about? A brief note on the relationship between climate change and water. I will have a look together with you at the urban water cycle. I will want to show you how integration can help to increase sustainability in your water system, and look at the different linkages in the water system. We want to have a look at the benefits that a more sustainable approach can offer. A few indications on the how do you get where you want to be. A brief glimpse also on stormwater management, and then a synthesis at the end. I have to say I do not have an engineering background. I am more looking at the broader issues of water management, and obviously this will be relatively superficial given how complex the water system is. But I'm happy also to get into a conversation with you, because I'm sure we have specialists here in the room that are dealing with water every day, and maybe others in the room that are relatively new to the topic. So I hope we can find a medium level of conversation here together. So climate change of water, how does this go together? You might be aware already that the water cycle is actually the most prominent, transmitter of climate change into realities on the ground. So a lot of what happens with the impacts of climate change will actually be felt in the water cycle. You have both too much water, too little water. Too little water, that means in some places in the world, in some cities, water scarcity will become a problem. So there will be less precipitation than before, drier, longer and drier periods, which will actually affect the water supply in the city very severely. In other places, it will just be the opposite. You will have more rainfall in more frequent terms, and also more intensive rainfall that you have to deal with. And maybe you got already a glimpse of this situation in Rome. So we have to look at the water cycle, and the water cycle, of course, also exists without a city. The water cycle is, in the first place, a natural system. Water is stored appears in many different forms, in liquid form, in the form of clouds, in the form of glaciers, and it's a continuous cycle of going in of water, taking different qualities through evaporation, through the formation of clouds, through rain events and so on. So this is a natural cycle that has always been there. But then cities, construction, human beings come in and they want, of course, or they have altered the water cycle to make it fit for their own purposes and needs. So the urban water cycle comes in. This means people need water for drinking, for their economic processes, for all kind of different uses, though they ensure that the water goes into their direction where they need it. So people have started to construct pipes to houses. They have actually moved the water away where they want to go from, where they want to, where they need roads. They have put buildings where they can find shelter, so the water has, they have to make sure that the water is limited in its ways. But they also have, they need it for agriculture, they need it for their food. So the water has become tamed in a way, and with a good deal of all kind of materials, with concrete, with steel, with plastics, what have you, the water is now in big cities in a particular system to make sure that it meets people's needs. So this is the urban water system. So if we compare the natural system with the built-over system, now if you go back again, yeah, you can see on the left-hand side, for example, the rainfall falling on a natural landscape, there is a natural system in place that absorbs the water is filtering through the soil, the water is also used by the vegetation. There will be small ponds or lakes, and the water cycle is in an, if you like, harmonious system. But then in the build-over situation, the water is running in different ways, because now you have concrete that is preventing the water from going into the soil. You can see there's only a few green spaces left where the water can still do it, and you have to make sure where, whatever, maybe the remaining more than 90% of water, where this can go. You have to make provisions for that. You have to construct pipes, ways. You have to make sure that it can get into the ground somewhere. You have to get it out of the city. So the big message here is that when we are looking at a sustainable way of managing water, we have to do it in an integrated fashion. Why? As I've shown you, the water cycle is a system. You can only really properly deal with the water cycle if you see the entire system together, if you look at it holistically. So the main message of integrated urban water management is that you can deal with the different elements of the system in a holistic manner, and you cannot really pick single elements of the water cycle and just look at them and deal with them, not taking into account what is happening in the other elements of the system. I explain this better. So there's, in the urban water cycle, these three main dimensions. You have to take care for water supply in the first place, you have to deal with your wastewater, and you also have to deal with stormwater. And in many places, these are different units in the city, different players, maybe even not only public but also private players that are dealing with these different elements of the water cycle. But they're all closely interconnected. And for example, let's say stormwater management. If you have combined sewers, then the stormwater would be transported away together with the wastewater. What happens? You have much higher pressure on the in your wastewater utilities to deal with much higher quantities of water, and you have different qualities of your wastewater, because, for example, water is washing off the residues of your traffic from the streets. So you have a whole different quality and quantity of water to deal with in your wastewater utilities. So you have to see that you manage together stormwater and wastewater is one of the examples. So one of the first big messages is when you're dealing with water, and if you have, for example, a problem of stormwater in your city of Rome, look at the entire water cycle and see what the connections are between the different elements in the water cycle. So this is within the water cycle, but then... Okay, and here, sorry, an example. Melbourne in Australia, one of the shining examples that have been very ambitious throughout the last years to do exactly this, understanding water in its entirety and developing a policy and a program in the city that is really respecting the urban water cycle in all its different elements. Of course, in Australia, this is particularly important given the fact that water scarcity is an increasing problem, and this has even before climate change has shown its impact stronger, more stronger, very visible and always been a challenge. So their vision is to build a smart, resilient water system for a livable, sustainable, and productive Melbourne. And they approach what they call a whole of water cycle approach. And I give you some of the headlines of their program. So the first point is to have a community engaged in the whole of water cycle management, so the participation of people as a first or highest priority. When they, the different suburbs, whether old or new, are all designed with having water in mind. It's about the sensible use of water in homes and businesses. They are looking at, or they are working for the resilience of their water systems. They're improving their natural waterways. They want to reduce inefficiency and waste of water, and they drive innovation. And of course, they also want to be recognized internationally. This is what is happening now, being here in Rome and talking about Melbourne. So I realize I have to speed up a little bit. So second point, first thing I said, make sure that you look at the water cycle as a whole, but also look at the connections of the water cycle with the other sectors in town. Equally important. So as we already found out this morning, maybe some of the delays here happened because of the rainfall last night, this morning, and the mobility of the city was interrupted in some ways. So there's a whole lot of implications that go together with water, which have to do with transport, with parks, with local economic development, and so on. Again, an example from Stockholm, for example, they, if you build new districts, of course, you are especially lucky in terms of being able to design the linkages between the different sectors in a more elaborate way, easier than dealing with already existing areas and having to retrofit them. Okay, maybe you can go one step wider, further. These are the benefits that are connected with managing water in a holistic manner. You can see all not only the different dimensions of the water cycle are connected, and the water cycle, again, with different sectors of the city, but the benefits that come out of it are equally closely connected. So what does it take? First of all, If you want to deal with all these different languages, linkages, you need to have the right people together in the same room. And this is exactly what is happening now and here, for example. And what is true for building resilience and developing a resilience strategy is true for developing a good strategy for your water management in the city. Again, also in water management, we would say first thing that you have to do to realize integration is that you need a team together, a core team that is dealing with this issue over a longer period of time and is the communication node for the different actions that have to go ahead. Very similar as what you're doing for resilience here. My plan was, this is the whole management cycle, but I think this is too small a print, and in because of the limited time, we cannot go through this in detail. Again, you would find out that a lot of these steps in the management process, in integrated water management, would be very similar to what you are doing now for resilience. I wanted just a quick note again on stormwater management, which might be the emphasis in your own work for resilience now. You have seen this before. When you're talking about stormwater management, you always have to think twice what it means for the other elements of the water cycle. Okay. And maybe you can go, there's one or two more pictures. Okay. So just about conventional and innovative integrated approaches. A typical way to deal with stormwater management in the past has always been connected with a lot of concrete and big pipes and big so-called gray infrastructure. Can you go back just 1 second? So the basic idea has always been with stormwater management, let's get rid of that water that is too much in the city as quickly as possible, as efficiently as possible. Let's get rid of that water. But there have been drawbacks. It often means that you just push the problem to some other region because the water has to go somewhere. So it might, in some cases, for example, lead to increased erosion in other areas of the basin, for example. It leads to the pollution of receiving water bodies and increased flooding risk in other places. You are rid of it, but maybe some other area near the city is then affected even more. There are also a lot of missed opportunities because you could maybe use the water for other purposes. You could increase your biodiversity. You could increase the beauty of your city in some places. You could use the water maybe, or private houses could use it for irrigating their gardens if they keep it. And there are many, many examples where you see how you can use green infrastructure instead of gray infrastructure. So in a way, we are coming back to the original natural water cycle in some ways that I showed you at the very beginning. A lot of these ecosystems that are by nature, in the very sense, able to deal with precipitation, for example, you can build them back into your city in lots of ways, with swales, for example, at the roadsides, with green roofs, with trees along your roads, and so on. This was, by the way, the city of Herten, again, a city that is very much promoting itself as, you know, applying an integrated, really integrated approach in sustainable, in water management. Maybe we go one step further, which takes the question marks out. So, maybe to summarize what you have heard, going from the conventional old ways of dealing with water to a more innovative, more integrated, more sustainable approach In the old approach, integration happened sometimes by accident, but it was not really foreseen. And what you now would have to do is really plan in integration by design as part of your thinking now. When it comes to stakeholders, they were often just concerned in terms of public relations. So the city has a press release and informs its citizens what it has been doing, or it wants to convince its citizens, you know, that it's all fine what the administration is doing. Now, in more innovative approach, the city collaborates with its stakeholders. And this is what is happening here. I still need the previous one. I'm very quickly run through it. Infrastructure, we have talked about gray versus green, which I repeat here. Stormwater, in earlier times a nuisance, let's get rid of it. Nowadays, what can you do with all this stormwater? There's nice things to do to use it as a resource. Maybe I don't have to go through every single, maybe water demand is also very important. You know, in earlier times, higher water demand means to see where else can you get water from and to look at new places where you can abstract water and get water from. Now it's about reducing water demand, it's about harvesting rainwater, it's about reclaiming wastewater. So I'm not going through all the detail. I think that gives some of the important things. So, some final messages. I personally preferred to use the term integrating urban water management rather than integrated urban water management. Just consider it as a continuous process of integrating. This is a job never done and never accomplished, but you always have to look for new opportunities. It will only happen with political commitment at all levels, and it's good to see that there are some politicians in the room right from the beginning at this very early stage. Good communication coordination is key. We know all about it. You need to look at the urban water cycle as a whole. You have to pool together all the knowledge that is there. This is not only in the city, this is in different institutions with different stakeholders. You have to pull together local expertise and capacities happening in an event like this one. And of course, you may look and learn from other cities, but in the end, you will have to find your own Rome-specific, very tailored solutions. Only in this way it will work. And the last picture, this is an attempt to create a vision of a water-sensitive city of the future, and maybe Rome will in the future have a lot of similarities with such a vision, but you will have to create your own one. Thank you.
Grazie mille Barbara, e grazie anche per averci rincuorato sul fatto che i passi che stiamo intraprendendo nel quadro dello sviluppo della strategia di resilienza sono coerenti con una gestione delle acque integrata e virtuosa, per cui sappiamo che stiamo andando nella direzione giusta. Io prima di passare a un pochino di domande e risposte darei la parola a Cristiana Fragola, che è il direttore regionale per l'Europa di un importante network di grandi città nel mondo che si chiama C40, e che ci presenterà alcune soluzioni di resilienza urbana, alcune esperienze e attività del network di C40 e delle città che lo compongono. Prego, Cristiana.